patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Well, that's two sides of a coin, is it not? You have on the one side how you treat the outsider, hospitality, which is always deals with the Greek word xenos, stranger or foreigner. And then on the other side, how you treat the insider, one of God's people. So we meet the needs of God's people, the saints, but yet we're hospitable or loving towards those that are on the outside. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, or your own eyes is the idea. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Of course, some of us don't have the power to seek vengeance, but we have vengeance ideology. Ideation, that's the word, isn't it, Sharon? Where your mind, look up here, where you're always thinking how you want to hurt somebody. There is no difference. You know, it's kind of like verboten, it's forbidden. So if your mind is consumed with wrongdoing and how people have harmed you, you don't have to have the power to do this. You have the desire. It's the same. So, avenge not yourself. Rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're going to talk about bridge building and soul winning today. How many verses in that text talk about soul winning? How many verses talk? Now, don't give me your religious answer. Give me your honest answer. How many of the verses talk about soul winning? None of them. Yes? Tim Cohen, forward. I went to marker. By the way, how many of the verses deal with soul winning? So part of our problem is we have a struggle with this. Now, if you're a systematic thinker and you do some reading and study in systematic theology, one day it clicks in your brain that really, if you mess with this piece over here, you mess with this piece over here, and you mess with this piece here. In this room, maybe one or two people are anywhere close to that. Here's the problem. I'm not interested in you getting to that place in theology. In your life, it's the same way. Disobedience in one area causes disobedience in another, causes disobedience in another, causes disobedience in another. Now, here's the bad news. Sunday morning sermon's the same thing, so strap your seatbelts on. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of coming together today. May this be a profitable Sunday school hour, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we began, and we will finish this week very easily, with this concept of bridge building. To me, when you're witnessing to people, talking to people, this is where the action has to be. You start with an individual, person you work with, live near. In some way, you have some sort of an association with that individual. Today, you just have to start with the whole concept of some form of bridge building. And bridge building always starts with you, as I said last week, which means if you're not a good communicator, look up here, with your children and with your spouse, guess what's going to happen when it comes to soul winning? We have spent 3 weeks, and this is the fourth and last week on the practical side. You will go right back to sleep because you don't communicate to anybody. All things connect, friend. Sin in one place causes sin in another, causes sin in another. If you're not a person fervent in spirit, do you think you're fervent in spirit at church, but not fervent in spirit at home? Do you think you're fervent at work, but not at... You see, these passages deal with life. That's the reason they're so powerful. You have to build bridges to yourself. I talked about last week. That's the most, and to me, if I stop right there, that's all you need to know. You must build a bridge between yourself and another person. Especially today where there's so much people question everything, they don't believe anybody. So you're going to have to go out, you're going to have to take the initiative, go out of your way to build some kind of bridges. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with subjects such as a worldview. You can do this in multiplicity of ways. It's not important which way, because not everything is a nail just because all you have is a hammer. People have different questions, different needs, but sooner or later you're going to have to discuss somehow that concept. You also obviously sooner or later want to build a bridge to the gospel, whether that's what you do with them at work, which I would recommend, either work or breaks or whatever. I'm not talking about while you're working. Those sorts of things. You develop relationships, give your testimony, share the gospel. But a long time in the modern world, before you can get to this, you've got to get to this. Because America is obviously post-Christian. Obviously, most people do not have a Christian background. We don't trust each other. If you're a religious person, you're a crank. So you're going to have to build some bridges. Obviously, you want to get out here sooner or later to salvation. If, by the grace of God, he allows you to work with that person to that place. And also, beyond that, to local church, discipleship, the whole bag. But that's starts right here with you. So, you have in your notes some verses. We won't deal with the 1 Peter 2:17. I will get too far afield. Look at the thoughts under the verses, please. Some very simple thoughts on bridge building. This assumes people are separated. This whole concept of one of the things you can do every day. The nice thing about this is something you and I can do every day. This is not something, listen, see Louis Heras. Everybody knows he is a very nice, kind, anything else you want me to say? No, that's Marissa, I'm sorry. Listen, Louis is a fine guy. But look at me, you go into the gas station, and you come across as an arrogant idiot. Well, good luck on the gospel stuff, because people aren't interested in the gospel as a theory. They see this guy here and he's arrogant or he's mean or he's cruel or... So, and by the way, we're pretty... It assumes there's a big distance between here and here. Now, here's the problem. If you've been in church a while, you don't recognize the distance, because you just assume, well, I go to church. I believe these things. I practice these things. If you talk to real people and you start saying things like, as a young man, Leo, you're going to join the United States Navy. You already joined the United States Navy. We only have one word to say that. Amen. Yeah, there you go. He said it better than me. I was going to be pious. Amen. First thing you're going to find when you get in the Navy that everybody there is a Christian. No, you start talking about Christianity, and if you don't live the walk, they'll figure it out real quick because you're going to be living close to people. So, you know, hiding, Leo, I know you don't do this because your mother would shoot you and run over you with the car. You're out there looking at your porn. Everybody around you lives close. They know it. And by the way, and they're going to be looking at porn. And when you get off of a ship, I'm sorry, they're not looking for a church. They're looking for a prostitute and a bar. So it's going to be very easy. It's kind of, I like the military in that sense, that if you're the real thing, it's so easy to distinguish yourself. Because, you know, you don't go there and you're not one of these weirdos. It's just, I got better things to do. Leo, you'll figure this out in seconds in the Navy. Robert, where are you at? Is that right, buddy? I know Robert talked to me about the last time he was out. Who else? FBI. Said he got a senior chief and a master chief, and he's a chief, to go with him when they went into port. And the one, either the senior chief or master chief, said, this is what he said to FBI. He said, this is the first time in my career that I don't have to be ashamed to go home to my wife. Robert, is that about right? Noel? Leo, this isn't going to be hard to build bridges. They're going to see you're different right up front, and you live close to people. Actually, when I was on that ship, you live way too close for an old man. Very close. It's going to be interesting seeing you on those racks in the Navy. Mm. And I didn't even see the ones you'll be in. I saw the chief's quarters. And the chief quarters reminded me of a very small closet. Next page, please. Everybody understand this? Oh, by the way, Leo, you start telling guys you're not going to see a prostitute and you're not going to the tavern. Already, man, you have set some, but out in the world, it's probably not quite that crude. It's a little less crude, I would say. Next in your notes, this requires Christians to make the first move or set of moves. It requires Christians to make the first move or set of moves. Folks, here's the individual. Here's you. I believe that every person in this room, including the people that have, forgive me, that have never witnessed anybody in the time I've been here, and you know who you are, my guess is you would witness to somebody if they walked up to you and said, "What must I do to be saved?" There's only one problem. God's commanded you and I to make the first moves, or set of moves. It's we have to decide we're going to bridge this gap. The responsibility is for us to build this bridge between you and this individual and our worldview and the gospel and salvation and a local church. It's our job, not theirs. Everybody would like people to say, "What must I do to be saved?" How many times has that happened to me in my life? So far, I'm zero for 57 years and 9 months. 9 months? Yes. Haven't had it happen. In your notes, remember, we are commanded to do what? Go. And by the way, folks, I'm going to say Pastor Willoquet, because that's how I knew him. He's not pastoring particularly right now in the ministry. We're not talking about going to India. We're talking about going to the person you haven't talked to in a decade. That's your responsibility. It's mine. Don't be Billy Baptist. Don't go in there with your giant print Bible. We're going to give you some suggestions. Go in there being human. Again, I think I like the military. I like the military because it's so right in your face. But when you live in separate homes, everything is hidden and you can hide. Leo, the first thing you're going to recognize is, buddy, if you're a real Christian, it will be obvious. How about this? Do you pray at meals? You have 75 guys looking at you. All right. Putting a little pressure on my buddy Leo there. In your notes. Yes, sir. First guy I ever led to the Lord, Leo, was in boot camp. People are very open in boot camp, too, because it's a high stress. They don't have all the protections of family and all the layers we have. It's a great opportunity. I like it. In your notes, this demands we are engaged, that we engage and are engaged. There are no self-preoccupied Christians. And frankly, when I come really to this statement, and I'm not going to preach on it right now, to me, this is where the action is in the church. People that are disengaged aren't disengaged in one place. They're disengaged every place. Self-preoccupied people aren't self-preoccupied in one place. They're self-preoccupied every place. Therefore, they're never really engaged. Engagement just simply, let me give a simple story, and I'm no great example. In 1981, I left this church to go to Bible college. When I went to Dyer Mercy Hospital, I can give you names if you'd like to check it out. I said this before. I decided when I left here that I was going to be a positive influence in that hospital. Because most hospitals have a lot of antagonism between departments. The lab hates the nurses, and the nurses hate x-ray, and x-ray hates, you know, it's just. So I decided I was going to know everybody on PMs. I was going to know every nurse, every supervisor. Folks, I did my first funeral while in Bible college of the woman that was in charge of ER and ICU, the nurse, and Coppage's son. I knew people. And Walter, thank you, Leo, they knew I was a Christian. There were lots of religious people in that hospital. A Christian. They knew that. So, to me, all things connect. If you're not engaged, you're not engaged. I don't know how you're not engaged. I don't get it. But I'll tell you what it is. It's because you're not engaged anyplace. So it's hard to engage with another person other than maybe I like this person because we criticize the boss. In your notes. So this demands we engage and are engaged. And this utilizes what I would consider some simple steps. If you have your Bibles open, which I'm sure you do, or you can look at the notes, here's a real simple thing to begin with. And this has to be done properly. But verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another. You know, folks, you start with something as profound as this. This is very profound. Now, if it's gentlemen, if it's a woman at work, you do triple on your guard. This has got to be done very carefully. I mean, I get that. You know, a woman will start, and I actually had a lady that I worked with three decades ago. I worked with her in a distance. She worked the day shift. I saw her once a month, and I found out her dad died. And I was already pastoring at the time. All I did was go to this lady, say, I'm sorry, I'm praying for you. I saw her two times. I mean, in passing kind of things. Boy, she read that all wrong. So guess what I did? Backed away from that. All I was trying to be was, well, I'm going to get to it in a minute, was just be kind and sympathetic towards the fact that she had lost her father. So if it's women, be very careful. Very careful. And you already should know how to do that. You know, there's things you can do. When I worked in the lab at Dyer, Thursday nights my wife came and ate with us. You all hear that? It's a real nice thing when people see your wife where you work, if that's a possibility. It eliminates a lot of stupid. Women don't come up to you. Women know you're, you know, just, I don't need to say any more about that. Kindness. Kindness seems to be pretty straightforward to me. Next in your notes, and this is not, it's tied to the same verses, friendliness. I don't think friendliness has to be real difficult. I think, you know, being friendly to people, as long as you're not doing this in a, and I don't know if I'm going to spell this right, mercenary way. You write it down however you want to write the word down. Not in a mercenary way. You can't, people will know if, you know, it's like I see in the church sometimes. Some people never talk to anybody else except when they're selling something. I see it in this church. I'm like, that woman never talks to that woman except when she's got something for sale. That's being mercenary. People pick up on that real quick. Friendliness is about this difficult, and there's people here that do a good job. Here it is. Are you ready? Hi. Good morning. We try to do it here. This guy here tries to do it with all of our parents. I think I said publicly, that has transformed a lot of parents' attitude towards us. Instead of having that antagonism, and all he does is stand out there and wave, wears a funny hat, freezes to death in the winter. Oh, by the way, when I came here, look at me. When Don Tice was the pastor of this church, my first year here, you have no idea the antagonism and hate the community that we served had towards this place. And some of you were part of that. Because that old fundamentalist is, we hate everybody. And if you come here, you shut up and you sit down and you do what... I remember, Sharon, you were part of it. You were part of it later. We rewrote the handbook, the most antagonistic handbook I have ever read towards parents. It's like, well, these are people in our community. Why are we antagonizing them? Because that's being a fundamentalist, right? No fun, too much damn, and not much mental. Friendly. Friendly. Greet people, smile. Again, can't be mercenary. Can't be, hi, you want to get saved? Oh, come on. You're building something. You're actually, you're just being human. But we're not very human. Jim, the hardest thing I have with Chicago, and you're used to it. It's difficult. I'm from the country, I know. It's difficult to walk out and nobody looks at you. They run over you. Nobody looks your way. I grew up where, if you go where I'm from, people wave. Now, they don't wave like this. Farmers where I'm, yes, one finger, on the steering wheel. It's a weird thing. But by the way, I think friendliness goes a long way. Next, thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness can go a long way. I am not interested in you being pious. I am not interested in you being religious. But thoughtfulness, boy, if you just think about things, it's amazing the difference that will make. Friend, let's just say this. You work on a job. I don't care who you are. Wherever you work, you're going to make a decision if you're going to be part of the group that crabs and cranks and whines and gossips and criticizes, or you're not. Once you make the decision not to be part of that stupidity, you can change the whole atmosphere of a place and make it a better place for you to work and what else? Give you opportunity to start talking to people about something serious. Or you can go get in the coffee clutch, gripe, complain, whine, criticize, and all the junk that people do because you're the first person that ever thought you're smarter than the boss. You know, whatever job I ever worked, everybody that worked there was smarter than the boss. Look at me. Did you hear what I said? Do you realize how ridiculous that is after a point? So, you go to the job, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm going to be part of the group that's thoughtful. When Mrs. Hall, by the way, she's already a Christian. Her husband we're nervous about, but she is. When I see her during the day, I like to greet her when I see her in the morning. I'm even so crazy, I open the door for her if I can. You say, why? Because she's usually carrying books. And each one of them weighs about 30 pounds. Sparky, do I say anything to you in the morning? What do I say? Something nice? Is it always nice? Not always. She's nice. By the way, does it make a difference if somebody says something? All right, we had a guy that worked here. I liked the guy. He was so surly, he talked to nobody. He wonders why he struggles in the pastorate. There comes a place, folks, when this isn't rocket science. You say, I want to witness to people. And you don't like people? What are you going to do? It's thoughtfulness. In your notes, next. This is kind of just a real simple one. This is a hard one. Romans 12:14. Somebody read it for me. Let's see. Who do I want to read it for me? Daniel, can you read Romans 12:14? It's in your notes because I just want to hear your voice. Can I hear it? Thank you. What in the world does it mean to bless? Here's that funny little Greek word, folks. What does it mean to eulogize somebody? Oh, my goodness. You say, I want to learn about soul winning. Have you ever heard your conversation? And you're at work, and all you do is spend all of your time griping about, and it's like, you start speaking well of people. Again, you can't do the pious stuff. He's the best boss I've ever, oh, come on. If you say that about me, I know you're lying. And by the way, you can say nice things. Who was that? Nancy. I get plenty of negative from Sharon. I don't need it from anybody else. Folks, eulogize. Just speak well of people. People keep track of that. Here's a guy that's, you walk in the room and you say, yeah, I like that person. You know, you don't have to be blind to people's weaknesses. I know everybody that works here, pretty much. I know the strengths of everybody and the weaknesses of most people, too. Some people have more weaknesses than others. Some have very few weaknesses. But, folks, you can speak well. Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer the question. Do you think I like Ann Maluski? She's sitting over here. What would give you that impression? I stay there so she can use the restroom. The kids don't listen to me. By the way, folks, this isn't rocket science. You're working at a job, and you start speaking down about everybody, gossiping. And you know whether you do this. And by the way, every job I've ever worked, including this job, you have a group that likes to spend their life griping. You need to set the stage. This is how you build bridges. Learn to bless people, not in some pious kind of way. And if you can't say something good, just try not to say much of anything. So, Daniel, read that verse again nice and loud, would you? Thank you. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. You all know the verse? For me, this is probably one of the most important concepts of any kind of work. If you're going to work with people in general, you have to be able to sympathize with people's circumstances. You have to be able to go, not stay over here locked inside your boundaries. And all you're interested in is getting that person saved so you have a notch in your gun belt or in your gun. You have to be able yourself to travel the ark and be able to empathize or sympathize. So what's the text say? Read it, somebody. Nina, you got your Bible? Can I hear your voice this morning? She was sleeping. Romans 12, 15. You ever been on vacation? And somebody, by the way, this, look at me. Sympathy is one of the greatest lacks in this church. And I'm not sure if it's, Scott, you'd have to tell me, I'm not sure if it's a white people problem. I tend to think it is. We are just cut off people. We don't know other people exist. It's the weirdest. So, you go on vacation, and you went to Machu Picchu. Who's been to Machu Picchu here? Dave, I hate you. Dave and Lourdes. By the way, one of the great places on earth to go, yes? Unbelievable place. You had the privilege of going to Machu Picchu. You come back in a church even and say, we had a wonderful time. My wife and the food was good. We had great experience. The view is unbelievable. And somebody says, yeah, I've been there three times. Or worse than that, I don't want to go there. I don't like that kind of food. Do you realize what? Look at me, friend. I'm being funny, but this isn't funny. Here's our problem. We are very self-centered people. We have a hard time realizing other people really exist. The reason, I look around the room sometimes and I think, I know why that person's never witnessed anybody. That person cannot get outside of their frame of reference. Their whole world is them and their emotions. The more emotional you are, the more difficulty you have with sympathy. I had a person say something about me recently, somebody from away from here, and I'm like, how do you know that about me? When I have people that I have pastored from 19 years that do not know me, because most people live in their world. You hear me? You'll never be a person that reaches people unless you can be empathetic. Drop your emotions, get outside of that, and get into their frame of reference. I heard a preacher one time preaching to a crowd of people. You'll never hear it here. I actually commend you for work. The only thing you'll ever hear here is, I don't commend you if you don't work. I think you know that. The preacher got up on Sunday morning and says, man, I went to visit a guy in a factory last week, and he says, I'm sure glad I don't have to do that kind of work. What? My friend, you have to be able to sympathize with people's real experience. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you know if you struggle here? I can tell you how you know. You don't know yourself and other people. I did an experiment in Bible. I can't say anything more than other to say this. We had one to two of the students that were wrong about every single other student. They were wrong. Because it's hard to see the world looking at yourself. Therefore, do you think you're going to... By the way, Leo, you grew up with a mother that gets this. I don't know if you get it. Your mom gets it. And that's what makes your mother always working with people. And I'm not bragging on your mom. I already know this. And that's what makes other people right here in this room, yes, I'm looking at you, never talk to people because your world is you. I hear on Wednesday night, by the way, I've been here for a while, Nancy will ask prayer for this person she's working with and this person, and other people ask prayer for sympathy, empathy. There's nothing like it. By the way, it starts simple. Somebody comes to you and they have a new car. You should be the most excited person in the world when somebody is God has blessed them to get a new car. You shouldn't be thinking about, I need a new car. I'm happy for people when God gives them good things. I think it's kind of nice. I'm not so happy with Dave and Lourdes about Machu Picchu. I will admit I'm a little bitter. It's true. Hey, they haven't just been to Machu Picchu. Don't feel sorry for them. Where's Machu Picchu? I think it's someplace in South America. I think it's in Peru. But hey, they've been to the pyramids at Giza, so I just don't feel sorry for them at all. In your notes, how about this one? Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse, let's see, what verse do I want to look at? Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Romans 12 and verse 16. Wheezy, you want to read that one for me? What's that word? What's that verse mean to you, Wheezy? Do we have a problem with that? You don't want to discuss it. Tim, would you discuss her problem with that? Oh, wise man. Wheezy, what you said is about the truth, but here's the problem. Every person in this room thinks they're the best person in this room. And if they didn't think that, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. We all think we're special, no matter who we are. We're the best. Exactly the opposite. And by the way, and then you go to this person at work and you're condescending towards them. You don't have the ability just simply to relate to them. And it takes work, because some people are going to be easy. Some people you're going to like to talk to, and then there's going to be those people like Debbie that you don't want to talk to. Yes, you don't click with them. Yes? Humility. By the way, can I give you humility? I can tell you this. Everything I said this morning, you'll never witness to a person unless you get through some of these things in your own life. So I could bring a guy in here and he could talk about the Hiles Anderson farm of soul winning, and you could go rah, rah, rah. But here's the problem. If you're not sympathetic to people, you don't care about people, you're in your little world, people are just, usually they're seen as obstacles for you to get around or overcome. That's how we look at people. Next, we need to look at 12, down to verse 12, and verse 17, 18, and 19. Wheezy, would you read those for me again, please? Yes, ma'am. What is this about, Wheezy? So I'm going to ask you a question. You were how old now? 21? 22. Have you ever had anybody truly harm you yet? I mean, you've had people that don't like you. Stupid. You haven't really had somebody that had the power to really harm you yet. So far you haven't had to apply these verses much. Debbie.
I used to think that I was pretty good at this verse.
Really? Unfortunately, the sermon this morning will not have this diagram, which is the entire sermon. So I'm going to give it to you now. So all of you that are here will know what I'm going to be preaching on in Sunday morning. By the way, I put this in the notes in a vernacular way. Staying out of the payback loop. You cannot get into, look, I'll say it another way. You got to get out of the justice business. If you want to be a person that never goes any place in your life, get in the justice business. You know, that teacher should have given me a B. You know there's people that remember that 20 years later? They still want to harm that teacher. Friends, this is what I wanted to have on the board today, and my fault it didn't get there. You have relationships. And what I have discovered, and this is preaching my sermon this morning now, so you probably should listen. This is what I've discovered. There's you in the center and God. A relationship with God. Please look at me. If you are a justice-oriented person, let me use another language, bitter. Well, see, you have your church. You have your spouse. You have your children. You have your work. You have your broader relationships. Well, this is terrible. This is my whole sermon this morning. What else do you have? Spouse, church, children, work, broader relationships. You have witnessing. Yeah, I could put family in there. I think I had one other one I would consider family really the same as this. Here's your problem. A bitter person doesn't stay bitter in one area. A lazy person doesn't stay lazy in one area. A non-empathetic person is not empathetic here and not here. You're the same person no matter where you go. So you get a person that's bitter, and if you start listening, they're bitter against their ex-spouse. Because it's always an ex. They're bitter against their church. They're bitter against their family. They're bitter against their job. They're bitter against their boss. They're just bitter every place. Hello? You find a person that's, I said it in the Sunday morning sermon a couple weeks ago, they stumble through life. They don't stumble through life just at church. They stumble through life wherever they are. You find an emotional wreck. They're an emotional wreck in all of these relationships, folks. So here's a real simple thing. Wheezy, you read the verse. This justice, listen, I would do anything for you never to be hurt. You already know this in one sense. When you're going to be an officer in the Navy next year. You're going to be out on a ship. You and I already had a little discussion about males, yes? What do they call that in the Navy?
Ship goggles.
Ship goggles. Ugly guys look better on a ship. I like that. Just remember, your dad has a long bunch of rifles that shoot a long way. By the way, I know you're not going to do that because you're a young lady that's got some sense, but this is what bothers me more. You will have the potential for someone to harm you. It's just going to happen. I would do anything to protect you, but it happened to me 3 or 4 times in my life in big ways. I don't see any way of protecting you. Then these verses become everything. And here's the problem. Once you've been harmed, or you don't even have to be harmed. Somebody tell me what has to happen. You can be harmed. Thank you. Or you can perceive that you've been harmed. Makes no difference. And guess what? Forget the soul winning. Forget witnessing to people. Forget giving the gospel to people because you have a problem. Every place you go, you bring that hurt. And then... Now, I hope, I really do, I hope it never happens. I hope you don't get some lieutenant that's getting booted out of the Navy like happened to me that gives you your evaluations when you're an ensign and they just decide, well, I'm going to hurt her because somebody hurt me. Or some person that doesn't like women, doesn't like Filipinas, who knows? That's when it really comes down to you got to really work through this. And we're just talking about soul winning, but it's really your whole life. Because if you start going down the justice road, guess what happens? You're not talking about the gospel. You're more interested in justice, and I'm going to... Jim, do you have comments on it? It never happened to you, I know, because you work in a place where everybody is nice and kind. So what do you think about that, Jim? It's true. And you're trying to witness to people. And that's the only parts you want to read. you got a truckload of coals out here. Listen, folks, one of the men I had in my church in St. Louis, a very twisted Christian man, Christian but twisted. He was a state patrolman in Missouri. His best friend, they went through the academy together, was the guy in charge. He was the colonel of the Missouri State Highway Patrol. When the new governor, a liberal governor, got elected, of course, that guy is appointed. He went from a colonel, and then it went from colonel. I don't know how it went, but he was dropped 3 grades for no reason, just because he was no longer the favored guy. And he and this guy in my church had spent their entire career trying to destroy other people, and the other guys were trying to destroy them. And finally, they destroyed that colonel, and the guy in my church just retired. That was their life. Louisa, I don't think the Navy will be that bad, but trust me. I've seen it. Now, you say, why am I bringing this up? Look at me, friend. Some of us are asleep. We work Walmart, and we think we're doing something special. You get in a real job where there's power and all that stuff, and God didn't send you there just to make money. God sent you there to impact people. You get in this game of vengeance, paybacks, forget ever seeing anybody saved. You're never going to see anybody saved. Fact of the matter is, you're going to make a miserable spouse, a miserable everybody. Because as I'll say this morning, would you believe all these collect? You can find a lazy person here. Do you think that person suddenly becomes non-lazy with their spouse? You find a person that can't communicate. You know the people in this church, when you walk up to them and they try to say something to you, and they go, and you're like, get it out! Oh, they've been hiding secrets for decades. I know what the problem is. But they can't do a better job when they're witnessing to anybody either. By the way, there's a lot of guilt and secret stuff in that kind of behavior. Maybe you don't know that. But it doesn't stop in one place. It's every place. Here's what I want you to do. I'd like some of you to wake up. Here's my problem. You got to wake up every place or no place. Because witnessing to people is human interaction, which requires Christian growth. It requires you to stop looking at yourself. This isn't about, listen, I've been to missionaries in foreign countries that had no business being on the field. They didn't like people. But they went to Billy Baptist College, like some of you, and at Billy Baptist College, you surrender to serve. What's that got to do with anything? What about Christian growth? So they go over there, and they don't like people over there either. And they're self-centered, and they're bitter. And then you meet people like, and yes, I'm still bitter at you, Jim. You meet people like Peter and Sandy Silseth that were like living in ministry. Why? Because ministry's people. The last concept is teamwork. And my friend, this is important for you to recognize. I've preached on both of these passages in the past. Teamwork is simply this. You don't have to do everything. You have to be part of a team. So you go to work, and you talk to that person at work, and they don't get saved. You don't stop there. How about this? You form a Bible study on the family at work. And you bring somebody in that can maybe teach on the family or can interact, and you invite them to you work as a team. This isn't soul winning Hiles fashion. I won. Oh, get over all of that foolishness. Everybody that gets saved, this is what you find. Behind them is a whole long train of a mother, a friend, a pastor, a fellow worker, and all of a sudden you look back and all those people had something to do with a person getting saved. It's called teamwork. So here's my admonition, and we're done with soul winning. Move people. You be part of the group that's moving people closer to salvation, and if they're saved, farther. Quit being a negative person. Number two, start building bridges. But to do that, you have to start growing up. Thinking about yourself won't help this. Thirdly, work as a team. We'll pick up next week on the subject of election. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings. May this be a profitable morning in Christ's name.